WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. There was an awful thunderstorm Monday evening in Philadelphia. I was caught on the expressway. As I inched along in my car, watching some vivid lightning, I thought about my next guest, Gretel Ehrlich. She was struck by lightning on her Wyoming ranch during a storm 3 summers ago. She was knocked unconscious and nearly died. Her new memoir, A Match to the Heart, chronicles the physical, psychological, and emotional aftereffects of the electric current that passed through her body. Ehrlich now lives in California, where she grew up. She's best known for her essays and short stories about life in Wyoming, where she lived for much of the 70s and 80s, herding sheep and cattle. Her books include The Solace of Open Spaces and Islands, the Universe, Home. Here's a reading from the opening of her new memoir, A Match to the Heart.
I woke in a pool of blood lying on my stomach some distance from where I should have been, flung at an odd angle to one side of the dirt path. The whole sky had grown dark. Was it evening, and if so, which one? How many minutes or hours had elapsed since I lost consciousness, and where were the dogs? I tried to call out to them, but my voice didn't work. The muscles in my throat were paralyzed, and I couldn't swallow. Were the dogs dead? Everything was terribly wrong. I had trouble seeing, talking, breathing, and I couldn't move my legs or right arm. Nothing remained in my memory. No sounds, flashes, smells, no warnings of any kind. Had I been shot in the back? Had I suffered a stroke or a heart attack? These thoughts were dark pools in sand. The sky was black. Was this a storm in the middle of the day, or was it night with a storm traveling through? When thunder exploded over me, I knew I had been hit by lightning.
Gretel Ehrlich, how did you know you were hit by lightning?
Well, I didn't at first. It was really just after I'd been lying there for a while, and I at first thought I was going to die, and then I didn't die, and then this storm kind of circled around and came over the mountain and really pounded hard, and there was lightning everywhere. And then it finally occurred to me that that's what must have happened to me.
And why did you think that? I know, sure, there was a storm, but why did you think that that made sense, that what you were experiencing was the symptoms of being hit by lightning?
Well, I was paralyzed, although at first I thought maybe I'd been shot in the back, but paralysis comes when you're hit by lightning because your muscles contract so violently. And I had crushing chest pains, but, I really didn't think I was a heart attack victim. So I just thought that must have been it.
You woke up in a pool of blood. Where was the blood coming from?
My head. When you're hit by lightning, this is the only thing I wish I had seen happen. Your muscles contract so violently that you literally fly through the air. So, you know, like a big explosion. So I flew somewhere. It's like the flying nun. So I just hit my head on some rocks, and I had some cuts on my face. And, you know, they bleed more than is really... I mean, I wasn't injured very badly, but there was a lot of blood around.
When you awoke, you couldn't tell if you were dead or alive for a moment there?
Well, I thought I was dead, but if I was dead, how did I know I was dead? So I guess that meant I was alive.
Would you describe the feeling of being feeling in between?
Yeah, it's this kind of gray area, not very attractive, not... You know, you keep hearing these stories of this great sense of peace comes over you, and I didn't feel any peace at all. I just felt that I was someplace that had no juiciness, no vividness, no brightness, no vitality left to it. It had all been stripped away. And I had no self, in a way, no identity and no volition. And it was a very oppressive feeling.
You did manage to summon up enough strength and willpower to get yourself back to your house, which is about a quarter of a mile away from where you were struck by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been awfully hard to do.
Well, I was lying there for a while and thinking I was going to die, so I was trying to clear my mind and just, you know, not be panicky and let it happen. And then it didn't happen, and then I got mad. I thought, oh, now I have to go get help, which seemed like a much worse prospect at the moment. But I knew, you know, if I stayed out there, I was probably going to die of exposure, because by then it was raining hard, it was getting cold, and nobody would ever, you know, nobody would have found me for maybe days, weeks, months. So I knew I had to do something. There was really no choice unless I actually chose to die, which suddenly I didn't want to do. So I just got up.
Well, you had a couple of bad hospital experiences early on where equipment didn't work and the doctors really didn't know what to do with you. But then you went to a larger hospital and had a cardiologist who became, I think, a friend as well as a doctor. What did you learn about the body's electrochemical operation and how that's affected by the disruption of lightning?
Yeah, well, in my case, I had a brainstem injury, which affects the autonomic nervous system and my sympathetic nervous system, which is the part that sort of gives your body the get up and go. It tells your heart to beat. It controls blood pressure. It releases the neurotransmitters that tell the blood vessels to constrict or not to constrict. That whole operation was completely fried, and just didn't work. So I just my heart kept beating because, you know, it has this internal pacemaker, a kind of natural pacemaker that makes the heart want to beat. But that was about all that was keeping me going. So I learned a lot about, that you can't learn anything about the body without also thinking about the brain and the chemical architecture of the brain. So I did a lot of reading in both areas.
Would you mind just doing a quick inventory for us about how different parts of your body were affected by the lightning?
Yeah, well, at first, I was paralyzed from the waist down and down my right arm, and my throat was paralyzed, my throat muscles, so I couldn't swallow or talk. So then I had, you know, external bruises and cuts and things. But then the interior effects were just the whole sympathetic nervous system. They say that when lightning enters you, you have sympathetic storms. It's like really ingesting a whole storm in your body. And it literally burned the passageways through which the brain, the neurotransmitters, which are little drops of chemicals, it destroyed those highways in my body so that all those cells had to, they think cells are covered with this kind of sheath that protects it, and they think that actually melted. So all of that had to be repaired.
My guest is Gretel Ehrlich. Her new memoir, A Match to the Heart, is about being struck by lightning. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Gretel Ehrlich. We all know the expression, lightning never strikes twice in the same place. But in fact, you were hit twice by lightning, which is really shocking to me. The first time, I think it wasn't a direct hit. You were riding on a horse and the horse was hit?
Yeah, it was lightning that was coming across a little meadow at a very high altitude, just going across the ground, and it came up through my horse's legs and up through my legs. You know, the horse had shoes on and I had spurs on, and this big spark bounced off the top of my head. But that's, you know, that's all that happened.
What do you make of it that you were struck twice?
Oh, well, a lot of people have been struck twice. It's I'm outside a lot. You know, really much more than a lot of people. But, you know, ranchers, farmers, fishermen, people like that are golfers, often get struck more than once. I think Lee Trevino's been struck a couple of times. And so it's just really an occupational hazard, especially if you live in a mountainous area, you know, where there's afternoon thunderstorms or say, like Florida has a lot of lightning strikes.
So you think it has more to do with people who are out in big open spaces during storms?
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't feel like you were
all day.
So you didn't feel like you were being targeted by the forces of nature?
Oh, not at all. Quite the opposite. I just think it's part of, you know, living in the natural world. Things happen to you.
After you were struck by lightning, you were sick for months afterwards, and you needed someone to take care of you. For a while, your parents took care of you, and your parents, when you were hit, were 75. What did it feel like to be their child again, to be taken care of by them again?
Yeah, that was really interesting. I hadn't spent a whole lot of time with my parents for a very long time, and when I called them from Wyoming and said I needed help and I didn't think I was going to make it through the night, and my father said, I'll be there in 4 hours, and went and found a friend who had a plane and came and got me, and I ended up on the cardiac care unit and then was released to their house after a week in intensive care. And you know what happened was, I mean, they were in the room when my heart was almost stopped beating and I had no blood pressure, and when they got me going again and I opened my eyes, I couldn't talk or move, but my mother was stroking my arm, and we just looked at each other. And at that moment, any of the problems or whatever that goes on between parents and children for many years just really went away. And ever since then, we've been very, very close. And, you know, in a certain way, they were the only people in the world besides my doctor who I knew would understand when I really needed help, even if I was unable to tell them. I mean, because they know me so well, they could just look at my face and know, and were really available to help me. So it was quite wonderful, and it engendered a new friendship between us, which has been great for both of us. And so now we take turns taking care of each other. Now they're almost 80, and they need some help, and sometimes I need some help. So it's been really good.
So you live near each other now?
Well, I now live about 50 miles away, but
that's pretty close by modern standards.
Yeah.
You went to a conference for people who've been struck by lightning. It's called the Lightning Strike and Electric Shock Conference. I believe it was founded in 1989 by a man who had been struck by lightning. Were there things that surprised you that other people experienced that you'd experienced too?
Yeah, it was quite comforting to find that there was a sameness in some of the less tangible problems that I was having. Things that, you know, my cardiologist couldn't figure out, which was lots of chest pain, but no apparent reason for it, and lots of kind of random pain, lots of really deep fatigue, unlike anything I've ever experienced before. So, and it turns out that everybody has those same problems, and it was quite common, and the neurologist that was there, explained sort of what he felt was going on. And so in that way, it was quite interesting. And, it was sort of interesting talking to other people who had been hit by lightning. And it also involved people who've been electrocuted somehow, like linemen and, people who hit a light switch that's not grounded properly. And actually, their injuries are much more serious in general.
Why are they more serious than lightning?
Well, usually because it's the electricity, it stays in your body longer. Say a lineman who gets stuck on a transformer, you know, sometimes they're up there for minutes and minutes and minutes, and it's very, very damaging. Also, they remember it. See, anyone hit directly by lightning doesn't remember it, and so I was spared that trauma of remembering what I'm sure is very painful. And the electrocuted people remember everything, and they have a lot of psychological damage that they have to deal with. So,
you know, most of your writing in the past has been about nature, about open spaces, about living in Wyoming, about place and geography, and so on. And it seems to me, in your new book, you're looking at your body and the body in general with the same kind of awe that you used to examine the landscape with.
Yeah, well, you know, what I discovered is the body is this great ecosystem all in itself. And I mean, it is really a miraculous place. Our bodies themselves are more complex than our imaginations. So I think it's it was really like a whole nother landscape, or I call it, in the book, I call it an organscape.
Gretel Ehrlich, a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Gretel Ehrlich's new memoir is called A Match to the Heart. This is Fresh Air.